This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Thanks to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it all. Also, breaking ground on NIL, they've got some of the biggest names in college sports. They had Caitlin Clark in there, Angel Reese, and a lot of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round draft picks. And if you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. And the best trading card brands, Prism, Select, Donruss, and so many more. And for those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you? Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. Good Monday morning to you. Well, post-Easter slumber you're waking up from. Many in the East Coast out and about. You're like, middle of the day, I'm up, Gottlieb. Right? Baseball season upon us. NFL draft upon us. And NBA playoffs are upon us. Dan Byers alongside, Jason Stewart alongside. My guy, Iowa Sam. He's the one making a sound like pros. And as the NBA season wound down, It was pretty obvious that the Mavericks' acquisition of Kyrie Irving, along with some other factors, took their team on a turn for the worst, right? They were a 4 seed when he got there. They are a 0 seed now, right? They are not in the playoffs, not in the play-in tournament. So they're like the 11th seed or 12th seed. But Dan, I got to ask you, like, okay, so the NBA is going to investigate them for tanking. Right, where they did this weird thing on their next to last game where they sat anybody except for Luka, and then Luka played the first quarter and then into the second quarter and then pulled him and didn't play him anymore. Now, part of it is that as part of the Kristaps Porzingis trade, the Knicks had a top 10, Dallas owes the Knicks a top 10 protected trade. And SNY's Ian Bagley said the Mavs have a 65.9% chance of staying in the top 10 on NBA lottery night. There's a 19% chance they fall to 11th and a 1.2% chance they fall to 12th. In other words, losing a couple extra games helped them for the upcoming NBA draft, likely retain that first round pick. So the tanking does work. Yesterday, they were down 42-14. To the Spurs in the final game of the season. So I guess the question is, and I kind of tweeted this out, like, are we really going to investigate the Mavs for tanking the last couple games when there are teams? Hey, the Mavericks have tanked before. You go back a couple years ago, pretty obvious they were tanking. That's when they got Luka. There are teams that have been tanking for Victor all season long. Why are we going to hold it against the Mavericks that they're tanking the last couple of games?
I think that there's two reasons. Number one, when we talked about like what's our takeaway from the regular season or just of what we had in entering the postseason, I did find it interesting because of the situation that the Mavericks are in that they would rather take their shot in keeping that top 10 pick. And by not making the play-in, they are at least, if everything holds serve in the draft lottery, they would be able to be in the top 10. They wouldn't need some help. They wouldn't need their number to be picked in the top four to get in. So they're safe that way. But the other thing, Doug, what is different about, I think, what happened, and actually is tied into recently with the new CBA, I think the gambling aspect of it is big. Because if you're betting on the Mavs and you hear Luka Doncic is going to play in a game and he just plays a quarter, well, what does that do if you've placed a wager on Dallas thinking that they're going to have Luka Doncic for an entire game, yet they're only going to play him, 12 minutes? And the reason I bring up the new CBA is because of the requirements of 65 games played. How is that going to play in? I think all of those events, with gambling so prevalent and in so many states now and a part of the fabric of these professional sports, that I think that's why the NBA is taking Dallas to task for what they did against the Bulls on Friday night, as opposed to a season-long tank where you knew that the Spurs and Rockets were going to stink.
Yeah, but we could go back through the entire season of not knowing minutes restrictions on guys coming off of injuries, minutes restrictions on guys just because it feels like you don't know who's going to play right up until the time in which they do play. I mean, the NBA season I don't know how you would smartly gamble on the NBA because you never know who's going to play. That's why you don't buy a ticket. But you don't buy a ticket. You have no idea who's going to play.
But no, but it's different for like a back to back. When the Lakers were in New York, LeBron and Anthony Davis weren't going to play against the Nets, but they were going to play against the Knicks. So the Nets game, you understand what's at stake, and you understand what's at stake with the Knicks game. With this was, oh, Luka is going to play. When over the last week we've had these reports, are the Mavs going to go for the 10th seed? Are they not going for the 10th seed? Despite most of the Mavs being ruled out, Luka was still playing in the game. So you're wondering like, well, okay, why is Luka playing in the game? And then he only plays 12 minutes. I mean, that's the reason why I think that they're doing it. I don't think that the Mavs really did anything wrong. I don't think that they're going to be found guilty of anything for the points that you laid out. But I just think it's a new atmosphere, and Adam Silver and his office are now trying to figure out, all right, how do we avoid these potential pitfalls? Because I do think it's a big deal if a guy is, Kawhi Leonard's going to play for the Clippers and then he only shows up for 6 minutes. It's a different NBA than it was 5 years ago.
No, it's a very, very weird. Okay, what about this one? So obviously Kyrie's going to get a bunch of crap because of how the season changed the second he came aboard. Can we, and I know your point, which is Luka has been Teflon through so many of these things because he's Luka. But isn't this just the reality of a trade? It's the reality of a trade. People think it's like, oh, we're going to get, we always do this on sports radio. And this is where you and I don't do it. And Jay Stu, you don't encourage us to do this. I also think Dan doesn't do it as well. Dan's been doing this forever, right? So he doesn't just go like, hey, would you trade? Because it's the, would you trade Kyrie Irving? Well, okay, what am I going to get back in return? And when you look at what they got back in return, like, first of all, I don't know if anybody thought Miles Bridges would be able to score like this in the NBA. I don't know any human being who thought that was ultimately the outcome. But we do this thing, and it's a broadcaster's trap, and I've fallen into it before, which is, hey, who won the trade? Well, who got the best player in the trade? So you won the trade. Like, yeah, that's not exactly how it works. And their roster became one that you had three guys that could score, and everybody else had to play defense, and that just didn't work. And then, oh, yeah, by the way, your season doesn't change just in a vacuum. Remember, while you're trying to figure out, first of all, Luka and Kyrie weren't both healthy. Kyrie doesn't always play, and Luka, they don't always play. And when your roster is even more slim, You can't afford to have one of those guys sit. Then when they do play, you still don't have a deep roster because you shedded pieces in order to get Kyrie. And the rest of the league is getting healthier. Kevin Durant was hurt. He came back. LeBron was hurt. He came back. You know, the Warriors, they're fully healthy now for the first time ever. You know, you all year. So you go through this thing, and then, you know, you look at some of the teams that they played down the stretch, right? Grizzlies, Warriors. I can't explain the back-to-back loss to the Hornets. I think other factors were at play, more so than it's just Kyrie and Luka's fault. It was a weird fit to begin with. I didn't think they were going anywhere with before the trade. I didn't think they were going anywhere after the trade, but I didn't know they would be worse in the short term because of the trade.
Yeah, they took a shot, right? Like we look at the Mavericks, I thought, Doug, last year, and we say, well, this is the team that made it to the Western Conference Finals. Well, really, how close were they to being NBA champions? They lost in five games to the Warriors. You know, would they if they beat Golden State, would they have beaten Boston? I'm not sure. But I think that with the state of where they were at the time, and again, this was with Jalen Brunson. You know, like there was only so far that they were going to go. Now without him, there was no way that they were going to I felt reach the peaks that you expected of a Western Conference final or even maybe an NBA finals. So you make the trade to you take that risk. What they're on the hook for what maybe one first round pick, which is like in 2029. You know, it's way down the road. So I think it's completely worth it. And it may, in a weird way, Doug, it may actually lend credit to what Kevin Durant's been able to do, even in a small amount of time with Phoenix, in just being able to acclimate yourself in that situation, because I do think it's difficult to just make a trade and make it work. I remember when Gary Payton was traded to the Bucks in the Ray Allen deal. It was a mess. Like it was them trying to get back to the NBA Finals, the Eastern Conference Finals, you know, from a couple of years prior. So they ended up trading away, you know, Ray Allen, bringing in George Karl, brings in Gary Payton, and it just didn't work. I know I'm using a trade from 20 years ago, but it's just, I think that there are more times that there are trades that don't work in the NBA at the trade deadline than ones that actually do and have it.
I think it's a great point. I think free agency in the NFL is much the same way. You know, we all go crazy about it. Like free agency, so one-third hit rate. I'd also point out, though, that some of it you can track to Kyrie. You know, the Boston Celtics made the Eastern Conference Finals before he got there and when he was hurt. And then when he came back, they lost in the first round of the playoffs to the Bucks. And then when he left, they were better ever since he left, right? There is something to that. In, you know, he does his own thing. Like, he is his own guy. But your point is a good one, which is, so oftentimes, and we both heard Cowherd say, you know, aggressive teams, like, yeah, look, even the aggressive teams like the Rams fell apart a year after going to the Super Bowl. And yeah, Tampa was super aggressive when they got Tom Brady. But look at Tampa now. But there have been plenty of other teams that have gone for it that don't get it. And then all of a sudden they become a dumpster fire almost immediately, just like the Mavericks have.
Do you think that there's any comparison for Luka and the Mavs to Josh Allen and the Bills? Like, I think there's a question on, did Buffalo reach its peak? You know, the Von Miller injury hurt them last year. But we look at Josh Allen as this do everything because he does everything, you know, for them. And now you're looking at where Buffalo is and you're saying, oh, geez, now you got to compete with, you know, the Jets maybe bringing Aaron Rodgers in the division. Miami's gotten better. Joe Burrow's in our conference. Obviously, you got to, you know, beat the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. And you're just wondering about the opportunities. Like, two young guys who really do everything for their teams. And now you're kind of wondering where they are. Like, I think that Bill's more successful, obviously, than what the Mavericks were this past year. But I see some parallels. I don't know if you do or not.
I do, too. But I'd also point out, and this will sound like coach speak, but it's really, really hard to win in the playoffs. You got to be a little bit lucky. You know, now, part of the Mavericks is they're not actually even in the playoffs. But sports are hard. You know, sports are hard. It's like both of us, when the trade was made, I think we agreed on air, Dan. It's like, yeah, I don't love it long term, but they weren't going anywhere. I get it. You kind of go for it, and it's missed. But we both would have gone for it,
yep,
knowing that they now have no depth. And in the NBA, where guys don't play every night, you take a night off and you got no depth, you have no chance at all. Zero. Zero. So I don't know, because, you know, now we start the, well, does Luka want to be traded? And, you know, what will happen there? I think the parallel to, there's also a parallel to the Atlanta Hawks and what they do with Trae Young, who, of course, part of the Luka, right? They went to the Eastern Conference Finals a couple years ago, and they kind of been chasing that. That was, you go back to the Oklahoma City Thunder. They went to the NBA Finals well before they should have. Things just kind of fell into place, and then they moved James Harden, and they were never really the same ever since. You got teams that chase it. They have a one season of success, and they try and chase that success and maybe get out of what made them successful to begin with.
Let me ask you this. Because they are sitting there in the top 10, which also better opportunity to maybe get lucky in the lottery and land Victor Wembanyama. But I would argue that the Mavs, being on the outside looking in, not only is it better for them to be in the play-in tournament, I think it's better than being a 5 seed in the West. For what they were, like the Kyrie deal, they needed to hit a home run. They needed to take a leap, a pretty big leap from where they were a year ago. And it didn't happen. Obviously, they took a step backwards. But if you were to make the postseason, this team, now that we know what we know, probably wasn't going to do anything anyway. So the Kyrie thing, I loved them doing the deal, but it also had to be a really home, you know, grand slam sort of move, and it wasn't that. And even if it was just a double off the wall, they're not winning the Western Conference, and they're not winning an NBA title. So, you know, them being on the outside looking in and having their top 10 pick as of right now, depending on the lottery results, I think is actually almost even better than them, not only of them not being in the play-in tournament, but I'd rather have that than be a 5 seed in the West and losing the first round of the Suns.
I wouldn't.
But for the organization, but for where
they
are.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, here's the deal. What do they do with Kyrie? Kyrie didn't do an exit interview. You know, he's going to play the market, which means there's no guarantee they re-sign him. You know, if you don't re-sign him, you do get compensatory picks. But, I mean, how does that exactly help you? Like, I don't know. It's a mess. And if you bring back Kyrie, do you want to bring back for more than 2 years? I don't. I don't know if I want to bring back for more than a year. I'd probably like to bring him back for a year and see how it works, but that's not usually the way NBA contracts work out, right? You can do a player option at the end of your first year, but I would have liked to see them in playoffs, just because you think in the NBA playoffs, generally the team with the two best players on the floor have won more series than they have lost.
Okay, I'll take away the 5 seed, but if they were in the play-in tournament and navigated their way through to get into the 8-team bracket,
no question, they're a better place than that. Yes,
The question that I have is, we're talking about the Western Conference and who you like to go in the NBA Finals. We're talking about the Nuggets. We're talking about the Suns. We're talking about the Clippers. We're talking about the Warriors. I don't know if the Mavericks are cracking that conversation.
They are not.
So, yeah, and that's kind of my point.
They are not. But I didn't think they were cracking that conversation beforehand. You just gave them like a Luka chance.
Yeah.
It's weird. Here's Luka when he was asked about the report that he might ask to be traded if the Mavs don't make improvements.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the report. I don't know who. Somebody said that I was going to request to quit, trade. It was funny, you know, because I didn't know that was true. I didn't say it.
I know. To be very clear.
I know, no, sources said it.
No. To be very clear. Because I'm just seriously, I want to get this straight. Never did I say, hey, Luka is indicating that you're going to request a trade. What I said is, if they don't get this right over the next year, there is a fear that you could come to them, as Anthony Davis did in New Orleans, James Harden did in Houston, Kevin Durant just did in Brooklyn, and say, hey, if we don't have a chance to win a championship, something's got to change.
I know what you're saying, but so, I'm happy here, okay. So there's nothing to worry.
He's been in Dallas 5 years. First of all, if you think they're going to do the same thing, right? Like if changes don't happen, of course they're going to make changes. The season was a disaster. Disaster. So of course you're going to make changes. Anthony Davis was in, wasn't he in New Orleans for 9 years?
Yeah, it was 8 or 9, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is a, it's a different deal. He's been there 5 years. I don't see it. I think that that feels like, that feels a little bit like speculation. Now, look, if you said, okay, the next year is going to end the way that this year ended, well, then yeah, who wouldn't? But what's the likelihood that that actually happens? You know, what's the actual likelihood?
I think slim to none.
Correct. So it's kind of a, I'm not going to diminish the report, but it is a kind of silly sort of thing. Like, well, if they don't make changes, they went from the 4 seed to out of the play-in tournament. Of course they're going to make changes. Well, if they don't get this thing right, like, okay, well, what does get this thing right mean? Does that mean they have to win a championship or have to at least be more competitive? They'll be more competitive. They say good things come to those who wait. Mercedes-Benz SUV's family proves otherwise. It takes no time at all to set up a test drive at your local Mercedes-Benz dealer. Learn more at MBUSA.com. The Lakers have played their best ball of late, and I think there's a guy who deserves a ton of credit, and he's not getting it. I'll tell you who it is next on the Dan Patrick Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at FoxSportsRadio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform. And one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required. And you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Do you want to know how long I've been doing this? Doug Gottlieb for Dan Patrick. Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. So, Iowa Sam, he plays the music, right? So, Jay Stu, I think Rick Bucher is going to join us right now. Doug Gottlieb and Dan Beyer, my man Jason Stewart, we're all in for Dan Patrick. Dan and the Danettes off this week. Do you remember doing a portion of a segment on this song, Rick Bucher?
If it had to do with my college experience, yes.
Okay, here's what it has to do with. I used to have you on my show. I think it was back in the game night days. And we used to ask him one musical question a week. And what you guys don't know about Bucher was a college soccer star at Dartmouth, right? So I'm guessing...
Star's a little bit of a stretch, but okay.
Wait, what?
Star is a little bit of a stretch, but okay, I'll take it.
No film or stats exist. Just roll with it, okay? Somebody's calling you a star. Anyway, so he's wicked smart. Wicked smart. Plus, you spend time at Dartmouth, you're going to spend a lot of time drinking beer and a lot of time by yourself in your room listening to music while you're studying, right? And so you used to tell me the like what songs mean. We'd have you on once a week. And this was about a guy who ran a club and he didn't like the music that loud. And I think that's literally what it was. Sharif don't like it. Rock the Casbah.
Yeah.
But you had like the actual club and actually what it was about. Like you did a little research.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive stuff. Pretty impressive stuff.
Yeah. I'm a little wacky like that.
Little wacky what's going on in Minnesota. Rudy Gobert punches his teammate, now bringing into doubt whether he'll play in the play-in game. And then, of course, Jaden McDaniels is walking up the court. He punches a wall, breaking his hand, knowing he won't play in the playoff game. Did you know there was frustration or this much frustration in the Twin Cities?
I didn't know that there was this much frustration just because guys punching walls and punching each other and huddles is a little beyond. I mean, obviously, the pressure of the situation escalated. I didn't know that this was, and as Chris Finch, the head coach, referenced, that it was an immature team in a lot of ways, coming from some surprising places. That's why I thought the impact of Mike Conley having him rather than D'Angelo Russell was going to have a positive effect on the team. And it did until you got Carl Anthony Towns back and you had to fit that into the equation. But in the big picture, I'm not that surprised. I am disappointed because I just think that the Timberwolves on paper have a ton of potential in spite of trying to figure out how you're going to make Rudy Gobert and Carl Anthony Towns number one work. But so we'll see where it goes from here. But I'm not overly shocked. The other part is not only the immaturity, but the lack of leadership. I mean, this has really been sort of a rudderless ship. And Chris Finch is a nice guy, and I think he's a good coach, but he's not a confrontational type guy. And so you look around, and Mike Conley has come in and had that impact, but he's not that overbearing type of personality to pull everybody in line. So what you had was Kyle Anderson, who's a team leader, trying to get Rudy Gobert to do what he needs to do. Rudy, for being as big as he is, as well-paid as he is, as experienced as he is, still he's probably one of the most immature guys on that team. And so that's the rub. You have one of you have the guy you went out and got. You have the guy who's highly paid, and he's a little goofy, as we know, going back to the whole COVID incident. And that really hasn't changed since he's been in Minnesota.
At least he fought a teammate instead of a wall. At least is that, because the wall is undefeated. But are things actually falling in place for the Lakers? Now when you look at now they have Minnesota in the play-in tournament, how are things falling for the Lakers now that the postseason is here?
I think they're falling in place as much as they can. I'm still not sold on the overall ability of the team. Like, they didn't just put Utah away, in spite of Utah not playing anybody. And we could say the same for the Clippers in terms of playing a Phoenix team that wasn't playing any stars. But I just don't know how much better the Lakers can play. And I'll be real, and I'm fascinated to find out, push comes to shove, what happens. Because what I was, this is why you don't want to get in the play-in. Because for one night, if the Timberwolves come correct, they can win this game. Like, even in spite of everything, there's some matchups there that are going to be difficult for the Lakers. Now, just considering that they are discombobulated, I would expect that the Lakers are going to win. But so now you have to win the play-in, and now you're going to play Memphis, who they play as fast as any team in the league, and might be the top defensive team in the Western Conference.
They're going to get run off the court, Buke, and remember they're going to have to play like, this is the whole thing where there's two parts to it, because I want to get to the Palinka element to it, but in terms of the like, look, it's great that they rescued their season, they played really good basketball, but you got to play an extra game on older legs. They were completely out of gas this week playing the Clippers, you know, because it was 5 and 7 nights. Like, what do you think is going to happen when they go play Memphis with those young legs in front of just a raucous atmosphere? Like, they're going to run you off the court.
Yeah, that's what I would expect. And the other part is that you really have to dial in and get ready for Minnesota. So you have to spend that time to get ready for the Timberwolves and then turn around and dive into a 7-game series with the Memphis Grizzlies. Meanwhile, Memphis Grizzlies are just dialing in to what they want to do with you. And this is the great distinction that happens in the postseason and why sometimes you take what happens in the regular season as evidence and sometimes you have to throw it away, which is now you really get the opportunity to kind of exploit a team's weaknesses. And the Memphis Grizzlies are going to be very prepared to do that. I mean, short of it is, I would expect that the Lakers can get it done against Minnesota. I don't see how they get past the Memphis Grizzlies.
Everybody's got amnesia, right? Last time the Lakers in the playoffs, they were talking all that ish to Phoenix, right? Backing them down. Anthony Davis gets hurt, and LeBron James couldn't carry the team, and they get beat in the playoffs. That was the last time they played in the playoffs. But it's like, oh, you don't want to run up on LeBron in the playoffs. Like, okay, Phoenix did. That was 2 years ago. He's not better now than he was then. All right, let's stick with the Lakers. Rick Bucher, Fox Sports 1, FoxSports.com, joining us. I made the case, like, look, I don't think the Westbrook acquisition was mostly him. Did he do the deal? Yes, but as we have come to learn, and you would know way better than I would, I don't think that he was pushing for that deal. He was pushing for other deals. But to unwind that deal, not do it over the offseason, do it in the middle of the season, and then the team to play better, and they played better without LeBron, too. I don't know if he's GM of the year, right? I mean, you go to Sacramento, they've done a great job going back to their offseason. But it really feels like Palinka solidified his cases as being the GM of the Lakers for a long time.
Well, that's good. He did sign an extension, and I would agree with you on all counts. It wasn't his first thought to do the Westbrook deal, and what he did at the trade deadline still amazes me, because Vanderbilt and Beasley were, in talking to the scouts and GMs around the league, like, those were the prized possessions that everybody was looking to get. And the fact that he wound up with them is how they fit. I give him high marks, as much abuse as Palinka has taken. Now, look, and then hasn't done everything right, but he certainly hasn't deserved the grief that he's received. And to your point, look, when you got clutch clients and you got LeBron James, you're going to be, this is the compromise that you make. And this is a difficult compromise. It used to be, if you did LeBron's bidding, it kept him happy. The pieces generally made sense, and he was going to get you where you wanted to go. So you took it, you followed their blueprint, and you were going to get the dividends. At some point, it was going to come boomerang on you, but you know you could enjoy the success in the short term. LeBron just can't guarantee you that anymore.
No,
and he's actually he's asking for. He's reaching now for those things, trying to compensate for what he can't do. And that's how you got into the Russ Westbrook situation in the first place, because he's looking at AD not being as aggressive and forward as everybody had hoped he would be under LeBron. And so you go and get Westbrook, who is all of that, thinking that – I mean, everybody seems to have amnesia about this too, right? It was – Westbrook was going to kick AD's ass, and that was going to get him going and get his motor going. LeBron was putting Instagram posts out there of him and Westbrook working out together. Like, he was all in on this because it was his choice. And now when it turns around, it's like, yeah, you know what? Palinka shouldn't have said yes. What LeBron wanted. I'm like, okay. Well, like, what? But that's what happens in LeBron world. So we've learned to live with it.
What's the first thing the Mavericks have to address now that their offseason is here?
Wow. It is figuring out what it's going to cost you to keep Kyrie. And I don't take anything from the fact that he didn't do an exit interview with the media. If he didn't do an exit interview with the Mavs, which I haven't heard was the case, that would be different. But I'm actually working on a piece right now about why players in the league have such a disparate view, admire and respect Kyrie in a way that most media and a lot of fans don't. And one of the simplest answers is, he treats the media and some fans dramatically different than he does his fellow players. And it's why Maxi Kleber would say he's a great teammate. It's why Luka Doncic would say, I want him back. I think we can make this work. It's why for all the things that have happened with all the other teams, you never hear players regret or blame Kyrie for what happened. And it's a fascinating thing. So, they don't have any choice but to try to re-sign him. And the only question is going to be, like, what's the number going to be? If he's standing on getting a max and he's going to be unhappy unless he gets the max, you know, and then you got to get into this, well, go see what else you can get. That's the trickiest part of this. But, overall, I'm looking at the Mavs. They need a lot of things, and they don't have the requisite assets to be able to improve this roster measurably. And that's their biggest issue. But the number one is they cannot afford to have just Kyrie Irving just walk.
You for people who don't know, Buke lives in the Bay Area. We won't give out the exact address, but you've seen this Warriors thing since its infancy.
Yeah.
They're healthy now, right? They barely pay attention to the regular season. Now they're healthy. We think they'll have Wig back for the Kings series. But now the Kings are, I don't know if they're a playoff real team, but they're a real team, and that place is going to be a zoo. Problem with Sacramento is it's going to be half Warriors fans. So, what do we make of these Warriors heading into the playoffs?
Well, they are going to be as good as they've been, and they do have that postseason experience and Magic, and the Kings do not. But they're not a very good defensive team, even with Andrew Wiggins and Gary Payton back. They're going to be better. But these are two not very good defensive teams. And so I think that the Warriors obviously come in, despite being the sixth seed, I would say that they're favored. But I don't expect that they're just going to blow away the Sacramento Kings. I think that this is going to be at least a six-game series. There is the experience factor, but I think the Kings are a little bit better than people are giving them credit for. There's a reason why they finished where they were, where they did. And I think that Mike Brown, having been with the Warriors for a good stretch, has a lot of really good insight into a lot of their players and how to approach them. And whether the Kings are able to execute all that remains to be seen. But I think I expect that to be a competitive series.
Yeah. Well, then you have Clippers and Suns. There's some really good stuff. Buick, we'll talk more about it when you join me on my show. Thanks so much for joining us on the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio.
My pleasure.
It's Rick Buecher, Fox Sports 1, NBA analyst, and Fox Sports Radio, NBA insider. Coming up next in the Dan Patrick Show, the Dodgers find themselves in an unusual position. We'll discuss next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win, but that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
The Doug Gottlieb Show, in for Dan, the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. That means me, Jay Stu, Dan Beyer, Iowa Sam, because Ramos is on a anniversary trip, right? That's what he just texted us, guys?
Yeah. He and Suzanne, 24 years. God bless them.
Congratulations to those two. They'll be in Vegas at the Spearmint Rhino tonight.
John on stage. With 40 minutes left in the show, John's like, have a good show, guys.
Yeah, I like that one.
Don't you usually do it beforehand?
Usually, yeah. But it's early West Coast time. He's
on the
early.
Same time as we are.
I'm going to make a statement here, which is not a hot take. Okay, it's a real statement, the Angels, who by the way did lose, that was a fun baseball game, 12-11 yesterday to Toronto. I think we're going to make a case when he's done playing that Mike Trout might be the best position player ever. I mean, think about that for a second. Like, he led the league in runs. What was it for I think 5 out of 6 years, times on base for 5 out of 6 years, right? I mean, truly been an all-time great. Anyway,
Well, he's a guy that has not only impressed like with traditional stats, but he has also been that crossover guy that he impresses the nerds. Like he fills all the analytics categories too. He's like superstar in both. Just like initial guys and then the analytics guys.
People forget he led the league in stolen bases when he first came in. Right now he leads the league in walks, but he's not stealing bases so he doesn't get hurt, right? Because every Angel season collapses when he gets hurt. But yeah, so the Dodgers are in the weird spot of looking up, granted not same division. Your boys, the Dodgers, Chase, too, not playing well.
They're not, and I think that the most problematic thing is that while this team has tried to work in this kind of new offense, you know, with younger guys, bring guys off the bench that have been sitting the last couple of years, bring guys up from the minor leagues, I thought that the stable thing was going to be pitching. I thought it would kind of keep them afloat, and it's kind of been the opposite. The pitching, especially this past weekend, was a disaster. But they're scoring a lot of runs, and guys like Outman, Jason Hayward has been a nice surprise on offense, but the pitching has to be of concern if you're the Dodgers brass right now. And keep in mind, the Padres don't have Tatis yet. So I was hoping that the first 3 or 4 weeks here, the Dodgers could, you know, maybe even put some distance between them and themselves and them and the Padres. And by the time Tatis got back, maybe it would be a nice pennant run. But it just seems like maybe the Dodgers are in for an average season, which sounds unusual.
Here's my concern if I'm a Dodgers fan. We're already early to mid-April. Like, so that's how far we are into this season. It was a joke. We're like the season. So
you're saying we're overreacting, Dan?
Absolutely.
Well, can I?
100%.
Can I give you, Dan, maybe a way to look at it a little differently? What's been the biggest jump? No, what's been the biggest jump in baseball over these first couple weeks?
I don't know. I hate these games.
Stolen bases.
Okay. All right.
Right?
There it is.
How many the Dodgers have?
I have no idea.
One.
All right.
The point is that my concern with the Dodgers is, look, and again, I'm the outsider. I'm not the Jason Stewart, John Ramos, some of these guys.
Well, I'm 0-2 on Dodger trivia right now. So.
No, it's okay. I didn't know. Like, I was, when Jason started talking about it, I started looking. And again, this is a hypothesis, Jason. But what if they're built for an era which doesn't exist because stolen bases are way up with the new bases and pace of play changes the pitching and you're going to need a greater depth of pitching and you're going to need guys that put it in play more. And they're built for the last 10 years of baseball. And maybe now baseball's changing without the shift and with the bigger base, which allows for more stolen bases.
I don't think you're too far from the truth there. I really don't. This is a team that has dominated the past 10 years, and the rules have changed violently in 1 month here. And
I'll use the Lakers as the example. Okay, when the Lakers and what happened with Oklahoma City that people don't realize is Oklahoma City was beat to compete with the Lakers and the Spurs, right? And so they had Kendrick Perkins, and then they had. What's the dude? Oh God, won a championship with the Raptors. Why am I forgetting? He's been all over ever since. Oh, why am I forgetting? I'll think of it in a second. He's originally from Nigeria or Congo.
Bismarck Biyombo?
No. With the Thunder. With the Thunder.
Oh, jeez.
Remember, he was with the Thunder. I'm just as bad at this as everybody else is. The point is, and we'll get to it. They gave him a big contract. Well. Why'd you have two bigs? Well, back then, you had to have two bigs to beat the Spurs and to beat the Lakers. Why are the Dodgers constructed this way? Well, over the last 10 years, you didn't steal bases, right? You didn't. And you just hit home runs. And that stuff has all changed. It's all changed. All right, for Dan Beyer, Jason Stewart, Iowa Sam, I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is the Dan Patrick Show, only on Fox Sports Radio.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.